what do you make of the backlash surrounding the announcement of the film about the Port Arthur massacre? I mean, what kind of backlash have we actually seen?
Well, we've seen a lot of people quite distressed and quite vocal about refusing to support the film. And there's been different reasons given. And obviously, there's this idea of commercialising people's pain, which is a common theme when you're looking at true crime, whether it's a movie or a book or a television documentary, even podcasts. There is this concern that the motivation around telling this story is to make money out of suffering. So it's not unexpected that people were very concerned. And as you mentioned, there's no government support for the project and they're not even filming in Tasmania. Some people have been saying that it's a good idea, that it's, you know, looking at celebrating gun control laws in Australia, although I would prefer to think that every day we don't have a tragedy is actually a better way to celebrate those laws. And when we look at terrible events that unfold overseas, it's a reminder always to Australians that we are a bit more privileged when it comes to gun control.
Given the upcoming film is going to be a drama, a fictionalisation of the events, do you feel that draws more criticism than a straight documentary would?
I think so. I certainly feel slightly more uncomfortable as a film goer with something that has been fictionalised because you are then more overtly trying to attract a mass audience and a mass market. You're looking for a narrative that will sell. And I think that the risk to people who survived that day or have really strong, clear memories of that day or have been a victim of crime, you know, if you've been a victim of a violent crime, then when you hear these stories or you watch them unfold on the news, you become really very impacted by those events and you remember quite vividly how you feel when someone was assassinated or somebody was assaulted in a park. You remember when you heard that news what it was like. And I think that with a mass market approach to telling this story, that will really challenge some of people's deeply held memories about this event and this idea that it's not in Tasmania and why are they doing this? And I think, too, the other big risk about this is, as part of the narrative, you must in some way, unless you completely turn somebody into a monster, humanise them in some regard. And this idea that there might be excuses or a rationale or someone else to blame apart from the person who perpetrated this particular crime, I think that will be really challenging and really upsetting for a lot of people.
Yeah, in terms of that humanisation of the villain of the piece here, I mean, I enjoy true crime sort of just as much as the next person, but I must say I do feel a little bit uncomfortable and I don't sort of necessarily go out for works that perpetrates certain kinds of crimes. The one that sprung to mind to me was the film last year regarding Ted Bundy, the extremely wicked, shockingly evil and vile, where Ted Bundy was basically a protagonist, played by Zac Efron. Now, he was an incredibly evil...
Convincing.
Yeah, it's a very difficult... difficult to watch, I think, you know, an individual like that when, you know, it is being portrayed. What are the ethical considerations, the line that a creator of a piece of fiction like this actually has to walk when showing, when fictionalizing and showing a perpetrator of something that was real, that did happen, that did affect so many people's lives?
Yeah, I mean, my preference for my own consumption of true crime is to look for dramatization, so as accurate as possible, rather than fictionalizations. So this particular film project focusing on Port Arthur has already said, you know, we'll be fictionalizing and completely fabricating some characters for that film. And I think that it sort of takes away from one of the reasons that people actually engage with this type of content in the first place, and that is often people are drawn to true crime because we're trying to educate ourselves. You know, we're trying to know the truth or come as close to the truth of a story as we can. And one of the ideas behind that is we want to be able to recognize somebody who might do us harm. And so I think once you start playing around with that too much, then you start to destabilize the motivation, really, and challenge that motivation for people wanting to watch this content in the first place. Because if you're really going to do that sort of fiction, you can watch a fictional film.
Mm.
It's tricky.
Just finally, in regards to this, well, looking at the Port Arthur crime in and of itself, Martin Bryant, my understanding is all the years he's been locked up, he's never really been informed of the final count of victims in terms of what actually happened. Sort of, he's never been informed of the things that have resulted after the massacre has occurred itself, and he's kind of been kept in that sort of isolation to avoid him, I guess, taking pleasure from the knowledge of his own notoriety. What do you make of taking... Do these kind of films, these kind of adaptations, glorify killers by giving them these kinds of notoriety?
I think it's really tricky, and a lot of it comes down to the script and the director and whether they do go for that more documentary, evidence-based type of storytelling, or whether they are trying to produce basically what many people would consider to be a horror film. So I think I really deeply understand why people are upset, and it's probably not something that I would be lining up to watch myself, but possibly we do need to reserve final judgment until the film comes out. I mean, certainly we have not shied away as a society from making and consuming films on a whole range of crimes. I mean, sometimes my personal preference is for crimes that are a little bit older, and, you know, everybody who was most directly impacted are no longer with us. And so my own view is that the hurt, the potential to hurt those who are most directly affected, is less. But there's still a lot of people who hold a lot of trauma out there, and I think that we have to be careful. We have to make sure that people have a choice. And if they want to consume this sort of content, that they can. But we shouldn't criticise anybody for self-selecting out and saying, no, that's not for me.
Well, Rachel, I do appreciate your insight joining us on this one this morning.
Thanks, Sean.